This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Just a quick note, I want to tell you the incredible value that the Outsource Activation Consultation Program has for you. Okay, so these upcoming episodes are about the 6 modules of the Outsource Activation Program. Within the podcast episodes, I give you an insight into the learnings that you would have on the Outsource Activation Consultation Program. But there is so much more value if you actually do the full program. Now, I am not suggesting that you have to do this. I am sharing with you key points and value within this consultation, regardless of whether you want to do the course or not. This is because I am so passionate about outsourcing and encourage everyone out there to try it. But if you do decide to take the activation consultation, then there is so much more in there for you. Okay, there is over $1,300, $1,400 worth of actual course content for you. Okay, there are multiple charts and infographics. There's 21 learning resources. There's, I think, 2 to 3 dozen videos in there. There are expert videos. There are virtual BPO tours. And then also there's mastermind groups. And of course, there are one-on-one business consultations. There are open office sessions. And we build for you a network in Manila of key people that you can turn to if you need contacts, leads, if you need to start your outsourcing journey, then you have them up your sleeve. So there's a huge amount of value there, but more specifically, it's not just about the learning and education you get. You actually receive bespoke consultation and advice from myself and Outsource Accelerator. Okay, you get one-on-one consultation time and you get quick results and solutions for your business that you can, if you feel the time is right, immediately implement. So I really believe that there are phenomenal results and potential for you and your company by doing this consultation. That is why I'm so excited. If you just want to listen to the podcast, that is absolutely fantastic. That is fine, because I am just so enthusiastic about people starting their outsourcing journey. But if you do want to consider the outsource consultation, then go to our website to find out more. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. My name is Derek Gallimore, and this is episode number 58. If, as a reminder, you want any show notes, if you want any of the resources mentioned here, then just go to our website and the show notes are at outsourceaccelerator.com/58. So today, this is a continuation. This is part 3 of the Outsource Activation Consultation Program overview. Okay, so the Outsource Accelerator offers a consultation program where it basically takes you from little knowledge to a level of expertise so that you can easily implement outsourcing into your business and get the best deal in doing so. Okay, outsourcing can change and transform your life and your business. And I really want to share this with you, regardless of whether you are looking to get the outsource activation consultation or not. Okay, there's a huge amount you can learn here, and there's also exercises, and I encourage you to do these things. So as I mentioned, if you haven't listened to the previous episodes, go and listen to episode number 52, where we introduced the consultation, and then episode 55, where we look at module number 1. So this now is module number 2. And in module number 2, we look at the nitty-gritty of engaging with the right outsourcing service provider. So let's jump into it. Right. First of all, one of the common questions I get a lot is, should you use a freelancer versus a company structure? Okay. Finding a suitable partner for your outsourcing future is absolutely critical. It can make or break your experience, so I want you to choose wisely. But don't overthink it, okay? I want you to get in and do it now. With over procrastination, this thing could take months or years to set up. You know, there's a few fear factors involved. Who are you really jumping into bed with, you know? There's a fear factor because outsourcing is typically involving a distant country somewhere. The people speak a different language. There's different culture. There's time zone barriers and things like this. So what I encourage you to do is start outsourcing. Dip your toe in the water and get doing it. And then you will notice how easy things are and how easily the roles can expand. So, you know, first of all, I encourage you to get into it. Now, the freelancer versus company is an interesting discussion, and it really does depend on your situation. You know, do you have, are you a solopreneur? Do you have 3 employees or do you have 100 employees? Also, what are your plans for your company? Okay, so if you haven't looked at module 1 and episode 55, I encourage you to do that, where basically you are mapping out your strategic plan and your goals for the future. So this will help you identify exactly what sort of team, how big, and you know the future of your company. So I would suggest if there is any growth expectation for you, you need to think very carefully about the foundations you are laying when you start outsourcing. It's very common for people to think that they can get a freelancer on Upwork and freelancer.com, and of course you can, but there's potentially less longevity in that. And, you know, it takes a lot of training, coaching, and building rapport and all of these, you know, softer things when you bring someone new on board, okay? It is no different between hiring someone in your own country and a outsourced team member in another country. You still have to get to know them. And so what I want you to do is consider that if you invest 1 or 2 years into someone, are they still going to be there if you change your business model in terms of how you outsource? So by that, I mean, if you have a contractor on Upwork and then you realize you want to set up an in-house team and then you move over to a BPO service provider, are you going to be able to bring that freelancer into that organization? You know, for a start, the freelancer might not want to move into an organizational structure. They might want to work from home. So there's all of these things where it's important to kind of set the foundation right from the start and at least being aware of these aspects. So we run through this. It's important to know also the difference in structure between freelancers and agencies and full-service BPOs. Okay, there are different outsourcing service models. The Upwork is on one end of the spectrum where basically it's contract jobs and you fend for yourself. The other end of the spectrum is a full service BPO, which is a business process outsourcer service provider. And they effectively will guarantee you not necessarily staffing or man hours, but they will actually guarantee you an output or a result. Okay. And so there's a spectrum where you need to decide what services best suit your needs and also, you know, what services best suit your time allowance, your cost allowance, your appetite for risk, and all of these different aspects. So what I want to do briefly is discuss 4 main models of outsourcing. Okay, this is very broadly summarized, but effectively there are freelancers and contract workers. You see those people on places like Upwork and Freelancer. Okay, so that is number one. Then number two is a seat leasing operation, okay, where effectively it's like a Regus. You know, you are effectively finding a an office space within the Philippines, and they will rent you a seat, and effectively then you can arrange the staffing, and they are housed, and they will provide some basic services for that. The third level then is staff leasing, where effectively they will help, or the service provider will help manage your staff, they will help recruit your staff, and they will obviously house them within a good, safe office environment. So as you go up the service ladder, they are doing more and more for you. The staff leasing is very common, and it's effectively full service up to the point of where, you know, they are doing everything for your staff. They are kind of curating and managing your staff, and it's almost like a hotel service, but you are the one in charge of running the operations and setting the tasks for your staff to do, okay? So it's a critical difference in that you still have to set KPIs, you have to do the business processes, you have to train them what to do. So then the fourth one is the comprehensive outsourcing, okay? And this is kind of where outsourcing started, and this is business process outsourcing in its truest sense. So you can go to certain BPO service providers and say, well, you wouldn't say, I want 10 staff to do this, this, this. You would say, I want 15 calls answered per hour from incoming customers, and I want a satisfaction rating of 8+. Okay. Now, the BPO service provider will take that specification, they will find the staffing, and they will work with you to create the processes that those staff will be carrying out. But it is then up to the BPO service provider to actually provide that servicing structure. Okay, and all you really pay for then is the output, which is the calls are answered and you get a customer satisfaction rating of 8+, for example. Okay, so I hope I explained that there. It is a little bit difficult to explain without resources sitting in front of you. So again, do look at our show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/58. So one of the activities that we suggest here is the outsourcing requirement template. Okay, and this fits in a little bit with the from the previous episode and the previous module, where you have your process mapping tree. And but there is a different template for this, where it's effectively establishing what you want, what roles you need attending to first, or what outputs, and then what is your service level requirement, okay? Do you want minimalist service oversight, where you do most things yourself, and of course then the cost is most minimized, but the hassle factor is increased? Or do you want the most hands-off, automated approach, where service levels are high, the cost is relatively higher, but you also then buy into the years of experience that that outsourced service provider is offering? So these are the things we look at, and you know, we work through this outsourcing requirement template with you. Then we dive into, we give you some examples of the contracts and service level agreements that you would find within outsourcing service providers. The industry now is, 20, 25 years old, so there's been significant maturation within the industry. And as a result, there's relative standardizations of the outsourcing contracts and service level agreements. Also, I want to give you assurance that, people are a little bit freaked out by coming over to the Philippines. What is the legal system like? What are the contracts like? Are people trustworthy? I want to give you assurance that the outsourcing sector has grown up by servicing Western clients. And, it's a sector that knows not to bite the hand that feeds it. And it's a sector that has very good levels of Western style contracts and observation of those contracts. So I really want to assure you that don't overthink making a contract with an outsourced service provider in the Philippines. There are very few examples where things go awry in terms of this. Of course, you have to do your homework in choosing good suppliers, because of course, like any market at all, there are good, bad, and average suppliers in everything. So the next aspect of the module is the inquire, negotiate, and hire. So as I mentioned, there are very standard approaches to outsourcing now, and it's important that you know what you should be asking for within a contract. Okay, it's good to prepare an inquiry template, which includes a brief summary of your business and core services and products. Prepare to allot time in going through interviews and meetings with potential partners. And then, of course, you know, you negotiate on price and a trial period and the tie-in period. It is critical to realize that outsourcers have an interest in you being with them for 2 to 3 years. Typically, outsourcing service providers don't make a lot of money from you, especially if you're new at outsourcing and you start with a small team. It is highly unlikely that any outsourcer will make money from you in the first year. So as a result, they really want to tie you in for 1 to 2 to ideally 3 years, and they want to see that your team is growing. I suggest to you that obviously you want as less tie-ins, as few tie-ins as you can negotiate, of course. But it's a bit of a give and take, okay? And the outsourced service provider really needs to have confidence that you are going to grow your team, okay? And this is very commonly the case. People start with one and then they quickly extend to, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 to 10 employees quite quickly. It's also critical that you ensure that the contract is flexible. There are things within outsourcing called a build, operate, transfer, okay, where a lot of people, especially the entrepreneurs of the business community, after a few years in outsourcing, want to incorporate on their own, okay, and effectively set up their own office in the Philippines where it's still outsourcing, but it's effectively what they refer to as a captive. Okay, so there are different aspects to outsourcing that, again, as I mentioned, it's important that you set the foundations right when you start. So it's critical that when you're negotiating, you discuss the clawbacks in terms of if you want to take the outsourced team with you, either to a new outsourcer or into your own incorporated company. Some outsourcing service providers even would assist you with a build, operate, transfer into your own company structure, and others would actually try and discourage it. So it's really important to know these aspects. Other aspects include obviously all of the staffing costs, whether the 13th month is included, whether there are any additional costs, and whether there is a transparent pricing structure or whether there is a opaque monthly pricing structure. Okay, so these are all things that we cover in this module, and they're things that I want, that it's really critical for you to consider. There are not too many hurdles and trip-ups in outsourcing. I want to assure you that generally the industry now is pretty standardized. Again, it's buyer beware, so if you go with the better brands, you're generally doing okay. But like any negotiation, it is a buyer beware exercise, and it's important that you know the key asks so that you're getting the best out of your negotiations. The pricing structure is critical. You want ideally a transparent pricing structure where you are paying for a seat, as they refer to it, okay, so a monthly fee for the seat, and then effectively you pay whatever salary the outsourcer, the team member is getting, and that is separate so that it disentangles the person's salary from the services that you are paying to the BPO, okay? This is far better, because if you want to give someone a bonus, or you want to hire an expensive person, or you want to hire a very cheap person, then effectively the cost of that seat is disentangled from that arrangement. So super critical to look for that. Okay, and then finally, a part of module two is the $50 exercise. Okay, this is an exercise that we have set up, and it is one that is pretty simple in nature, but the intention of this is to get you started. Okay, I want you to start outsourcing today. Okay, do not procrastinate, just get on the outsourcing bandwagon. So I want you to have a budget of $50, and I want you to go on Upwork or Freelancer and set a task for someone. Okay, it can either be, for $50, it's likely to be a singular project, or, you know, if you spend a little bit more money, then you can effectively set up some sort of relationship with a virtual assistant where they might work for you for a month for, let's say, 2 hours a day. These are really interesting exercises to do, not because you will learn about that person so much, but actually because you will learn a lot yourself about how to delegate, how to manage someone remotely, and how to clearly set expectations and roles and activities, and so that also there's a lot of clarity in the process for you, but also for the person doing the role. Okay, so we often say outsource accelerator, that outsourcing, sure, we can teach you how to outsource. You know, we can teach you about all the perceived scary things in the Philippines and how to get the best deal. But actually, there's a huge amount of learning and education that you need to do so that you can best optimize your interaction with your new outsource team. So the $50 exercise will encourage you to start now, and it will get you used to the early stages of outsourcing, setting a project, setting the outline of the project, reviewing the deliverables, and then sending it back, and then getting something that you're happy with. So just as a quick recap, this is module two of the outsource activation consultation. It's about engaging the right provider. So first, we look at whether you should outsource to a freelancer or a service provider. And in that, I say that it depends on your future. Okay, where are you going with this? And what I caution you to do is set the foundations right. Make sure it's correct from the start, because if you then need to redo those foundations, it's not so easy once you have invested in a team. Then we look at different outsourcing service models. Suffice to say that there are about 3 to 4 key outsourcing service models within the outsourcing sector. Okay, people will dress them up and call them different things, but effectively there are 4 different outsourcing service models that you should know about. Then there is an activity where effectively we get you to look at what outsourcing requirements you need so that you know which service provision suits you and what sort of team and what sort of processes you're looking for. Then, of course, the contracts and SLAs, the service level agreements, are really important, okay, and it's about knowing what to ask for, okay? It's about knowing the standards, and again, these things are quite standardized, and trying to get the best out of it for yourself, yet also, obviously, having your outsource service provider happy with their lot as well. Then, of course, it's about inquiring, negotiating, and hiring, both the service provider, but then also the team within that. And, of course, we just discussed the $50 exercise, where we encourage you to start outsourcing something, anything, a little project now, so that you are learning yourself and developing your outsourcing skills, okay, which do take a little while to hone. So I hope you enjoyed that. That is the module 2 of the outsource activation consultation. If you want any of the resources, then go to our show notes. That is at outsourceaccelerator.com/58. And as I mentioned, if you want to listen to the earlier episodes about this activation consultation, that is at episode 52 and 55. So Hope you enjoyed that, and we will be back soon with Module 3 of the Outsource Activation Consultation.